2 Corinthians 5:14 and 15 says, "For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again." And the first part of that verse would have been my answer if I had known that at the time to Brother Joe about if any reason at all that I stay in Spain or any reason at all that you as a Christian stays here faithful in the house of God, right there. For the love of Christ constraineth us. If the love of Christ doesn't constrain you and it's not your motive and your drive for what you're doing as a Christian or my drive for what I plan on doing in Spain, I'm not going to stick it out and neither will you. The love of Christ constrains us. That word constrain means to compel or force. To urge with power sufficient to produce the effect. The word constrain means to tie fast, to bind, to chain, and confine. The word constrain means to necessitate. And I like this definition the best. The word constrain means to produce in opposition of nature. To produce in opposition of nature. Knowing the love that Christ showed us that day on the cross when he paid for our sins so that we might live in heaven with him for the rest of eternity. Knowing that love that he had for us, our love in return ought to constrain us every day to stay right, stay faithful, and not just to end up being a statistic or sermon illustration. And my answer to Brother Joe, now that I keep in touch with him still, but I said, "Brother, that's got to be my only reason. If anything else is, then I'm going to get discouraged. If my motivation for staying there is based upon the reception of the gospel by the Spaniard people, I'll get discouraged." Paul said in 1 Corinthians, he said, I'm not called to go and baptize. He said, "I'm called to preach. My job is to follow in obedience and let the Lord handle the rest." And if that's not our motivation today, and that's not the drive that we have today for living right and doing the right kind of things in our Christian life, we've got it all wrong. And just a few simple thoughts about that. The love of Christ constrains us. And if what you're doing in life is done for the right reason, it'll be for Jesus. And just the first thing under that, you know, if the love of Christ constrains you and it binds you, then he'll be your motive. Jesus Christ, number one, will be your motive. And your motive will be to be pleasing to him. It'll be to be pleasing to him, not to impress others. And especially this, you know, as a young fellow going out into the ministry, not to impress leaders. I told this to the college students the other day. I said, if your motivation, man, for staying here and staying faithful in school and going through school and getting a diploma is just to impress mom and dad, you've got it backwards, my friend. You've got it backwards. If our motive is to impress leaders, we've got it backwards. It ought to be to impress Christ. It ought to be to please and glorify his name. And nextly under that, though, it can't be to impress our leaders. But if the love of Christ constrains us, it's not for the fear of others either. Ask yourself, why am I here today? Why am I faithful in the ministries here at Faith Baptist? Why am I here at Sunday school today, this morning? You think, well, I'm here because if I don't come, then people are going to say, "Where's Brother So-and-so? Where's Sister So-and-so? What are they doing this morning? Did something happen to them? I mean, have they decided to just go to a different church? Have they decided to go a different..." If the love of Christ constrains us, our motive won't be for the fear of others. And it won't be for self-glory either. We know the story about the Pharisee and the publican and how the Pharisee said, "You know, I'm glad I'm not like this fella." And Jesus said the publican was more justified because he was humble. His motive was wrong. What's your motive, my friend? Ask yourself, why am I here? Why am I doing what... If being a Christian was easy and serving God and living for God was easy, everybody would be doing it. Everybody. If it was easy. But he never promised it was going to be easy. I mean, if we look at the life of Christ, it wasn't easy for him as a human being. Even though he was God, he still had to deal with many things that you and I deal with. He never promised it'd be easy. But if he's our motive, we're going to be faithful to him. And just keeping that thought in mind as we continue to go through deputation and to travel. We were just in Texas this last Thursday. Friday morning, we left Texas to drive here. And then next, after the conference, we're heading up to the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. So we're just, you know, everywhere. And, you know, you think to yourself, well, that's just mind-numbing, you know, just that continual, you know, staring at the road. You keep this thought in mind, going through Christianity, going through your life, going through your day-to-day, dealing with your family, your finances, your job, whatever areas you're dealing with. If you're doing it for Christ Jesus, then all those problems just really seem to amount to nothing. Paul says he counts them all but dung. He says these problems in my life don't mean anything because what I'm doing is for Christ, for his honor and glory. If Christ's love constrains you, your motive will be right. But not only your motive, your methods will be right. Your methods will be right. if Christ's love constrains you. We met a missionary over there. And take a look with me, if you will, really quickly at 2 Timothy 2, verse 3 and 5. We met a missionary over there in Spain, 2 Timothy 2, verse 3 and 5. And the missionary, old man of God, faithful man of God, been in Spain as a missionary serving since the 70s, the mid-70s, and had a small congregation, and we were there at his house having dinner with him there at the table. And we'd met about four or five different missionary families, but this stuck out in my mind so specifically. Old man of God, been there since the 70s. I don't know how old he was, but he looked like he was up there in years. But he looked at me and he said, "Brother Peters, when you come to Spain," he says, "you'll be tempted because you're not around other independent fundamental Baptists as much as you are now." He says, "you'll be tempted to compromise your convictions." I said, "what do you mean?" He says, "oh, well, you'll be tempted to just start to compromise a few things in your life to be able to be a more of a witness, be more of an outreach, to get more people to come to your church. You're going to compromise what your books told you." And he began to sit there and he began to pound on his dinner table and say, "you can keep your convictions, son. You can keep your convictions." And I'm watching this and I'm thinking, this guy really believes this. And hey, my friend, if Christ is our method, we're not going to build a church on compromise. We're going to build it on Christ and be able to keep the convictions, keep the standards that we know to be true, given to us right here in this book. If Christ's love constrains us, then He'll be our method, and our method will be purity in action. 2 Timothy 2, 3 and 5, 3 through 5 says, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully." The love of Christ constrains us. We'll be uncompromising in our methods. You might think to yourself, "well, you know, preacher, Brother Angel, we might be able to reach more people and get more people in those doors back there if we just maybe loosen up on the preaching a little bit and not have such hard preaching on a Sunday morning. Maybe if we just changed our music a little bit and tweaked that a little bit, we might be able to reach more and be more of a witness here in Kankakee area." You know, my friend, we've driven through and being there, especially right there in the shadow of the big city in Chicago, driving all over the United States, you'd be so amazed seeing how many quote-unquote churches that are popping up on every street corner when the Spirit of God is not within 30 miles of that place. And that, come as you are and leave as you came, feel good, let's just get together and get the guilt off our conscience because, you know, we really don't want to have church. We really don't want to practice what's in this book. Uncompromising in our actions. Our methods will be right if His love constrains us. You see, it's never right to do wrong so that you'll have a chance to do right. And that's true for the church as a whole, but that's true for us as a Christian. Ask yourself, am I building, Jesus said in Matthew 16:18, He'd build His church on Himself. Ask yourself, that's you and me. We're the church. I'm part of my local church up at Northwest. You're part of the local church here. And if the church be built on Christ, that's the individual as well as the body. Are you built on Christ or are you built on compromise? Ask yourself that. And I ask myself that continually as we go and we travel on deputation. We're going to be there in Spain. I say, am I going to do work for Christ on compromise or am I going to build it on what this book shows? Ask yourself that. Am I letting compromise sneak in? You know, seriously, it's so disappointing to see Christians, to see people that you and I maybe have known for our entire life here in the ministry here, maybe in our home church, and little compromises slip in unawares. The little foxes spoil the vine. And soon enough, before that person knows it, they've compromised so much, they're no longer going straight, and that small little deviation in their path of righteousness for the Lord has now led them way over here. And they've gotten themselves involved or are doing things that they would have never imagined they'd be doing 20 years ago. Think of that. Don't let that be you, my friend. Don't let that be you. But if we're not careful in keeping those small little compromises out of our life, it can be. You see, what's interesting to know is what was right here in the New Testament in Jesus' day when He started the church is still right today. You see, if Jesus Christ be the same yesterday, today, and forever, then those things that Jesus preached and taught His disciples in the New Testament, hey, that's still good for us in 2012, my friend. It's still good. If Christ's love constrains us, our methods will be pure. We won't be compromising in our actions. But not only that, and then lastly, and then I'll be through. Think of this thought. If the love of Christ is what constrains us, we'll have the right measure. All pride will be forgotten. 1 Peter 5 and verse 6 in your Bible. Take a look at that, and then I'll be through. 1 Peter 5 and verse 6. I ran out of bookmarks. There it is. 1 Peter 5 and verse 6 in your Bible. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. You know, we were just at a conference with missionary, y'all supported missionary, Dan Gardner, been in Japan for 35 years. I've been hearing that name since I was a kid. Been hearing Gardner, Wynn, Martin, Ashcraft, hearing these names since I was a kid, and just seeing what the Lord's done in those, I mean, awesome. It's incredible. But you see, we're going to Spain, and not that the Lord can't do it there, but you see, if me as a missionary going to Spain measure myself up against someone who's in a different area, I'm going to get discouraged. You see, if you measure yourself up against another brother or sister in Christ, either two things are going to happen. Number one, you can get discouraged. You might think to yourself, I'm never going to be what they are. I'm never going to be able to do what they do for the Lord. But you see, there's another pitfall that could take place if you measure yourself against someone else. You might say, well, Brother Peters, I'm one of the faithful ones. I'm involved in all the ministries here at church. I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. I'm living right, doing right. But I'm a little bit better than Brother So-and-so. I mean, they didn't have as many visitors as I did during the spring program. And you see, if you don't measure yourself up against the perfect Son of God, when we attempt it, I promise you, those of us that are faithful, not that we're anything great, but if we're not careful, we'll let pride creep in because of our faithfulness, and we'll think, man, we're better than so-and-so. You see, but if you just, when you're tempted with that, my friend, promise you, do this. Don't measure up against anyone else, but take yourself and stand yourself right up next to the perfect Son of God. And you look at you versus him, and you stack up all your accomplishments right there. And I promise you, you'll look at that and you'll say, man, I'm really nothing. I'm really not squat. And you'll see what Christ is compared to what you are, and anything you've ever done in your Christian life will just seem so finite against his perfection. If Christ is our measure, then all pride's forgotten. You see, that passage I referred to back a moment ago, the Pharisee should have remembered that. Instead of pointing at the publican and saying, man, I'm glad I'm not. Just a few simple thoughts. If the love of Christ constrains us, then he'll be our motive. He'll be our method. He'll be our measure. And I promise you, you'll have the right drive in your Christian life to stay faithful and still be faithful in this church today, tomorrow, next week, next year, 10 years down the road. It will be, I promise you. And if we intend, not that we're anything great as well, but if we intend to do anything for the cause of Christ in Spain or on any mission field around the world, that's got to be our focus. The love of Christ that constrains us to stay faithful, constrains us to continue to do the work that we've been called to do. Think about that. Let's go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this time we've had together. Thank you so much for your faithfulness to us. Thank you so much, Lord God, for Jesus. Without Jesus, we would not have a chance. Thank you so much for your Holy Spirit. And thank you, Spirit of God, for just being with us this morning. And might you bless these few simple thoughts and be with the service of the Father. In your name we pray. Amen.